Pedder's new world-first vehicle weight matrix software. Know your weight at pedders.com.au.
Yeah, good morning and welcome to Triple M's Dead Set Legends for 2019. Joey, Jay and Emma with you this morning. And very good morning to you boys.
Yes, hello Emma. Thanks for joining us, adding a bit of class and pizzazz to our show. Joey, what do you think? We needed a bit of class, it's fair to say.
Much needed. The host now, we've got a nice bit of polish about it. Jay, you were hitting your straps late in the year, but No, certainly looking forward to having Emma join us this year. It's going to be great fun. We're going to have a lot of fun. Emma, looking forward to it. Plenty of footy too. You're a big Essendon fan too, so we're looking forward to when the AFL gets going. The Bombers,
I am,
mate. Happening this year. So
yeah, very excited about the prospects of the red and black going forward. But how are your summers? Because let's be honest, working in sport, sometimes the summer months can be just, well, lazy. Have you just been relaxing over the last 8 weeks?
That's a nice way to describe it, Emma. My first year out of football, obviously having 3 months off, and you do spend a lot of time doing not a lot.
Well, you blew out, Joey.
I did blow out, but I actually...
You're looking good now, though. You're looking better.
I just said that. I said, someone said I've trimmed up a little bit, and you said, I thought that. And I said, well, why didn't you tell me that? And you said, I'm not going to give you a compliment too early in the year, but Emma, my summer revolved around a lot of summer sport. So we know about my lawn bowls, but playing a bit of golf, bit of cricket, bit of basketball. And it's fair to say I'm now seeing a sports psychologist because I had a horror summer playing sport. I played a game of cricket. I filled in for a charity cricket match, the Media 11 versus Melbourne Cricket Club. Got clean bowled for one.
No.
I then played in a celebrity golf day. And I didn't know, but 50 people followed us around because I played with Jeff Ogilvy, which was a great honour.
That's a great experience.
The gallery followed us around. And when you're an 18 handicapper like me and people are watching your every shot, I went to water. It was embarrassing how bad I played.
How did you lose?
I lost balls every hole. It was embarrassing. I gave up. And then I played a basketball game, filling in for some friends. And the scores were level with 11 seconds to go. I got fouled. Two free throws. Missed them both. And then I had an uncontested layup to win the game and missed the layup. So I'm seeing a sports psychologist at the moment to get through my summer of sport. So it's not a great start to the year.
And is it right, Joey, that on the golf course you committed the ultimate sin?
Oh, yeah. I didn't want to go into the story
too much. What happened?
On the very first hole, so playing in this charity golf day, 50 people watching us, they started following us. I've hit someone else's ball. So I played hole and finally thought, okay, and someone else yelled out from the other field, did anybody just hit a Strixon? That was my ball. And I've had to look at the ball and went, oh, no. So in front of all these people, I've committed the ultimate sin on a golf course and hit someone else's ball. So from there, my day just got worse.
What other sports can you screw up going into the last month of summer? Like you've stuffed up the basketball, the golf.
Yeah, cricket I'm not good at anyway, but I did decide to fill in and fail there. So... Yeah. I've got to stick the lawn bowls.
Is it right, Joey, that the bowler you were facing was sort of bowling a bit of heat, and when you did get clean bowled and dismissed, you couldn't have been happy to get off the pitch?
Well, that is true, and I didn't want to go into the story again, but the cricket game that I did face was a charity game. We were playing against some older gentlemen that used to play for Melbourne Cricket Club. They just have a bit of a social game once a year, but this kid that bowled to me, he's in the Victorian Bush Rangers squad, young 23-year-old Jackson Coop. So he was bowling quicker than these Sri Lankan opening bowlers they bowled yesterday. And fair to say, he clean bowled me before I even saw the ball. But anyway, all good.
What about you, Jay? You've had a big week.
Yes, we have, because my young bloke started school on Wednesday. So excitement in our household. And we've got our four-month-old boy, his baptism tomorrow. So excitement has been high. But I tell you what I have been surprised with, gang, and that's the evolution of the humble school lunchbox. So when I went to school, for lunch I would get, I'd be lucky to get an apple and a Vegemite sandwich.
Yep.
On a real big
paper
day,
bag.
Yeah, I might get a little orange juice or something like that. The lunch boxes these days for my 5-year-old Fletcher, it's like this big plastic thing with like 7 different compartments. He's having bloody sushi and tapas for lunch.
What?
The little man. It's just extraordinary the selection he's got for lunch. The kids these days, they're lucky. What did you used to get in the lunch box?
Italian in me, I had salami and cheese. I had the little salami sandwich.
So good.
So that was my... And when I got a roll-up. That was like my little treat. Remember the roll-ups?
And the Dunkaroos, weren't they great?
Dunkaroos.
And they still make them.
What did you have? What was in your lunchbox, Emma? What would you as a kid?
Oh, I reckon there was still, chopped up carrot and celery, but I know what you mean nowadays. There's compartments for dip, which just seems absolutely extraordinary.
He's
going forward.
Hummus. I don't even get hummus after dinner.
And you're not allowed to share your lunches anymore because they're worried about everyone getting allergies and all that.
Oh, no peanut butter.
No peanut butter. You can't share.
We've got a big show coming up today. We're going to have a chat to Scotty James, who's an X Games gold medalist. He won in Aspen only a couple of days ago. He's a Melbourne boy as well, and also an Essendon supporter, which is great news. We're going to preview the 2019 season of the AFLW, which begins today. We're also going to get stuck into the controversy, guys, of Darren Weir. Stolen headlines all over the country this week. But up next, we're going to cross to the very well-travelled Luke Darcy in Atlanta in the States, because the Super Bowl is on Monday. How does he get all the good gigs, guys?
No idea.
That's the dream.
Well, on Monday, boys, Super Bowl 53 going to be taking place in Atlanta between the New England Patriots and the LA Rams. Probably the world's biggest yearly sporting spectacle, would you say?
Yep, fair to say. Absolutely.
Broadcast to millions of people around the world, and God knows how he does it, but our very own Luke Darcy is over in the States at the moment with the hot breakfast and joins us on the line before he goes to dinner. This is why we have to do this chat early in the program, because he's got canapes and beverages to consume. Good morning, Darcy.
I am Joey Jay Z. We keep this pretty tight over here. I don't want to waste too much time, but I'm in downtown Atlanta, Georgia, the deep south, and very, very interesting place to see for Super Bowl 53. Amazing. If you haven't got to one, I encourage everyone to find a way to get to the Super Bowl, because it's an extraordinary event and a new town every year. So into Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, they regard as the best stadium in the world. So everyone who's anyone in America is lobbing in town as we speak. There's more private jets on the Atlanta airport than anywhere in the world at the moment. And it's a big party coming up. We're having a good time over here.
Duke, I'm sure we'll talk about the game in a sec. Tom Brady going, I think, for his sixth Super Bowl is a huge part of this NFL story at the moment. But what have you got planned on the day? So you got the show, and then do you sort of drop into a bit of a tailgate party, have a beer out the back first, and then is it a corporate suite? Are you sitting in the outer? What are you going to do for the Super Bowl?
Well, mate, our great friends at Budweiser, Jay-Z, have supported us over here, and they are the biggest name in town, Budweiser, so thanks to Richard Oppie and all the crew. So we're their guests, and if you haven't been before, literally, it's as big outside the stadium as it is in. So, you know, 70,000 seats in the stadium, but, you know, it's just as sought after to get in around the tailgate parties as you're aware, and I know Rose is in there this morning, so she'll be more musical than me, but Aerosmith are playing.
Foo Fighters.
Your namesake is in town. Foo Fighters, Rose, are here, so you literally hop from sort of venue to venue, and it's just everything in America is big, everything's on a big scale. But one of the interesting things, guys, has been, this is the home of Coca-Cola Atlanta, and there's a bit of what they're calling the Cola Wars happening in town, because Pepsi are the official soft drink supplier of Super Bowl 53. So they've come to Atlanta, and basically, you literally, without exaggerating, people have Coke on tap in their own house here in Atlanta. That's how Coke a town it is. And so Pepsi have ambushed all this marketing on the billboards around the World of Coke Museum with the signs up saying Pepsi in Atlanta, how refreshing. And the locals, who, you know, no one's ever bought a Pepsi in Atlanta ever, are sort of fighting back as the home of Coca-Cola. Is a little bit of a side play that's happening in town at the moment as well.
Hey, let's get into the game, Darcy, because it's shaping up as a classic, all the NFL experts reckon. What's the mail coming out of Georgia at the moment? Is it for Tom Brady and Bill Belichick to win their sixth combined Super Bowl together, or is it the LA Rams, who would be going for their first ever Super Bowl as the reformed Rams after moving around the states over the last 60 or 70 years or so?
Hey, I mean, you know what I'm astounded by, just being on the ground here, is the hatred for the Patriots, Tom Brady's team. Everyone in America who doesn't come from Boston or Barrack for New England, they hate the Patriots. It's Collingwood on steroids. literally, you walk down the street and you're getting vox popped by someone. Before they ask you a question, do you hate Tom Brady? Do you hate the Patriots? Can you talk to us? So everyone is geared up against seeing that they're sick of them being so successful. They're over Brady. For whatever reason, people don't like him and feel like he's sort of had his dream run and he got through some controversy a couple of Super Bowls back with Deflategate. But the money, 80% of the betting is going the way of the Patriots. They're a slight favourite with bookmakers, but I think people just think they're too good. Now, even though the rest of the country don't like Tom Brady, I think that he's probably going to do it for a record sixth time come Sunday night.
Well, it is an amazing story, isn't it?
Well, that's right. I mean, as we often say, you know, to go home and consult himself with his supermodel wife, it's a tough life, yeah?
Hey, Darcy, we reckon you might look a bit like Tom Brady. You haven't been mistaken for Tom Brady, have you? Because there is a bit of resemblance. Jay reckons you're a bit of a Tom Brady lookalike.
Yeah, bring it.
Well, it's interesting you say that, Joe, because that's been pretty hard for me around Atlanta in town with people coming up and assuming that that's me eating the Southern Fried Chicken this afternoon down the main street. I have rolled with that a couple of times and starting to come back in a not so positive light. People going, are you kidding yourself, mate? Yeah, surely not. But it has happened before in the States, but I think people were. Yeah, the way I'm looking, mate, after a 4 hour finish last night, no one thinks I'm Tom Brady. I can now.
Well, you go and enjoy that feed again, Das. The food in America is amazing. We'll look forward to hearing your reports all of Monday and Tuesday with Ed and the team live from Atlanta. Thanks for joining us.
Great to chat to you guys. Nice cold Budweiser coming my way. And look forward to chatting soon.
How could one of those be right now? Yeah. You're completely across the AFLW, though, Joey, which starts today. What a revelation this has been over the last couple of seasons and only going to get bigger this year with 10 teams taking part. Can you give us the heads up as to how it's all going to play out?
Yeah, you're right, Emma. Look, it's going to continue to grow year on year. The talent's getting better every year, and that's what I'm looking forward to with AFLW 3. It's the young stars that are coming through. I already have seen a couple of the young draft picks. Nina Morrison from Geelong, the number one draft pick. She's a standout. And a few of the other young girls that are coming through, Jay, have got a lot more talent and it's going to continue to grow. So really looking forward to this season. It's going to be pretty even competition. Kangaroos, with the new team that have come in, are certainly going to be one of the favourites. They've actually picked up 15 players that have played AFLW last year and a lot of them some star quality. Mo Hope, led by her. Emma Carney, who was the best player in the competition last year. Katie Ashmore and a few of the Collingwood girls. So Kangaroos are going to be a team to watch, certainly, in their first season. Geelong, on the other hand, drafted well. They got a lot of young girls and a lot of young local talent. So they're planning for the future. So they're the two new teams. And then it's going to be a few of the old faces. The Brisbane Lions are going to be thereabouts again, although they've all lost a couple of players, which is the interesting thing. All the teams from last year that were really strong have been poached to other clubs. So Brisbane have lost a few of their stars. So have Collingwood, as I said, in particular. Western Bulldogs have lost their best player, Emma Carney. So it's going to be another even season. But I'm thinking GWS and Adelaide are the two teams for me that I think can challenge to win the premiership.
I think there has been a lot of frustration and maybe it's a bit misinformed or out in the public about the skill level of the girls, which we think has improved solidly year on year. We want that to go to another level this year again, Joey and Emma. But what I've loved over the past couple of weeks about this women's game is the human interest stories which have come out. Like GWS put that video out of Haneen Zrika. I think she's the first Muslim female player, and you know she gets told by the coach Alan McConnell she's in the team for round one, and she starts crying. You know, the raw emotion of this is absolutely wonderful. And in the age today, you read about Cecilia McIntosh. She lives in the bungalow at the back of her nana's house. She's been packing supermarket shelves as her career, her whole life. I think she's a Winter Olympian as well,
and a Joey. Summer Olympian. She's been to both Olympics.
Yeah. So, and she's 39, and she can't wait to line up for the Pies in the back pocket again. She's almost like the Stevie Baker, one of your old teammates. So for me, we can't wait to see the on-field action, but it's the commitment, the sacrifice, and those human interest stories in the background, which I've just absolutely loved.
And that's right. There are so many backstories, and a lot of these women are natural athletes, so they've been great at other sports as well. They've got talent coming from netball, playing a couple of rugby sevens girls will be playing for Carlton that are going to be standouts. That's what I like about it too. These girls that are just talented athletes that are now trying to focus on AFL to give all these young girls some inspiration. One of the teams I'm looking forward to is Carlton, new coach Daniel Harford, who I think is going to do a great job because there has been a bit of a knock on the scoring and more goals. And what I've liked about the coaches is they are looking to attack. Scott Gowan's the Kangaroos coach. It's all about offense.
Yep.
Daniel Harford, it's going to be about offense. He's put Bree Davey, his best player. Mm-hmm. She's going to play at full forward with Taylor Harris and Darcy Vesio. So we are going to see more goals kicked this year. We're never going to see as many as men. I don't like the people comparing it to the men's game. The skills are never going to be as good as the men's for a long time. They can't kick as far.
Yep.
There's not going to be as many goals. But for what the women can produce, the talent is getting better every year, and the skill level, I think, is at a really high level.
What do you say then, Joey, about the tactics of last year, about the coaches, numbers at the congestion, at the contest, increasing the congestion? Like, do you think we should give that side of it, just let them play?
Yeah, I think there was a little bit of overcoaching. I think still what they're trying to adjust to is the coaches have been coaching to the men's style of football. bringing some extra numbers around the contest.
Give us a spell.
Giving some extra numbers behind the footy, where you've got to try and open and say, well, this is women's football. There's 16 on the field. They can't kick as far and penetrate the congestion as far by disposal.
Let it breathe.
So let it breathe. And I think that's what I'm saying these coaches are going to do this season, is they're going to allow the girls to show their skills by being a bit more attacking, opening the ground up, and not necessarily trying to apply men's tactics into the women's game. So really fascinating season. Looking forward to it. It all kicks off tonight. Geelong and Collingwood down at Geelong. Well, I think Geelong are a chance. They're probably two of the weaker teams of this competition this year, Collingwood and Geelong. I think Geelong will win at home. They're expecting about 15,000 people, I believe, down at Geelong.
That's a big crowd.
The Geelong locals are getting around their team. So that'll be starting off. And then I'll be calling the game for Fox Footy tomorrow, the North Melbourne and Carlton game. So looking forward to that and seeing how the Blues go with new coach Daniel Harford.
Yo, that's amazing. I can't wait to see those girls, you know, in action, as you mentioned. Just the defensive pressure as well, you know, those tackles. It might not be men's tactics, but Jesus, no way I'd be putting my
They go hard. The girls, they throw themselves on the ball. Absolutely. They go hard.
Thanks, Joey. And we've just resumed for 4 for 385 at the moment. Joe Burns still at the crease and Curtis Patterson joining him as well. But it was a shaky start for the boys. Aussies were 3 for 28, I think, early in the day, but they pulled it together.
Ideal, Emma. A difficult start, but hallelujah. Let's be honest, we've been absolutely rubbish with the bat this summer, Joey. But to see Joe Burns, who maybe should have been, I mean, we see him come out here and spank around a Sri Lankan attack, which is maybe only going half rat power, but maybe he should have been in the test squad from the get-go. And well done to Travis Head as well. But this is big in the context of the Ashes, isn't it? Because we think that Sean Marsh is in trouble. You know, Marnus Labuschagne, a question mark still maybe over him. Dave Warner and Steve Smith will come into the team, you'd think, for the Ashes. But Joe Burns and Travis Head, Joe, yesterday might have booked their plane tickets to the Ashes, you think?
Yeah, possibly. And congratulations to Travis Head. I can only imagine making 100 for Australia. It would be a great feeling. So that was his first. Joe Burns has made a few hundreds, but you sort of touched on it. I don't want to be a party pooper because we have been chasing 100 for a while, but let's be honest, the bowling attack they were facing weren't one of the strongest of all time. They were bowling about 130 Ks.
Besides
the first hour, Emma, like you said, where the ball was doing a little bit after that, it was a bit of gentle medium pace and off spin. So it was a good effort though for the boys to make hundreds. And I think Joe Burns in particular now looks like he can be a steady force at the opening spot because Marcus Harris, we've liked what he's doing, but I don't know if he's quite cemented the spot yet. Kawaja's have been a bit flaky this summer, so I like Burns as an opener. And Travis Head, I think he's a talent we've got to stick with in the middle order.
Well, you like Burns as an opener, but as we know, in the next couple of months, we'll see both Steve Smith and Dave Warner come back into the fold ahead of the Ashes in about 5 months' time.
Yep.
Where do you boys see that order kind of resuming, because someone has to go from the current 11 to make way for both of those two superstars?
Well, I think Harris and Warner is the opening combination. I like Harris being the foil for Davey Warner. Probably Dave's biggest challenge in the short term is winning back the trust and respect and friendship in the locker room. I think it's fair to say he's coming a fair way back in that department. Kawaja has been shaky. I like him at 3. Smith is the natural 4, Joey. And then whether it's Burns and Head and Labuschagne jockeying for those last two batting spots. But I think they'll both come
Do you think
back
Warner
in.
Comes straight back into the team for the Ashes?
I think
Steve Smith, yes, we all agree, no doubt. Warner?
I think if he can get in the pub or the restaurant with his Australian teammates and have it out and iron out whatever creases exist from Sandpaper Gate and really win back that respect and that trust and have a few beers, I think he can get back in. But he is coming from a long way back. I think the bowlers in particular are pretty dirty on him from throwing them under the bus.
Yeah, and I think I'm like a lot of Australians. I'm happy to see Marcus Harris now just take over Davey Warner's role and let's stick with Marcus Harris.
I am a little bit,
for the time being. He has to earn the trust back, I think, of a lot of Australians, not just me, but a lot of Australian
You're
cricket
sick
fans.
Of him.
Well, I'm happy for Marcus Harris now to carry the baton as opener. What about another young talent, Will Pekowski?
Yes.
Where does he sit amongst all this? Because I've read again that he's now stepped away from cricket again with some more mental health issues. What's your take on that, Jake?
Yeah, well, big news last night, really, because he's the 19-year-old gun Victorian batsman who we can't all wait to see in the Australian team. Look, it's been a little bit unusual in that he was brought into the squad a couple of weeks ago but didn't play either of the two tests against Sri Lanka. And he has had this history of mental health problems. And we learned last night, of course, that he has been released out of the Australian squad back to Victoria to help his mental health, basically, for the benefit of his mental health. He's raised his hand and said he's having a few challenges in that space again. So good on this young man. Good on Will for sticking his hand up, being open about that with the team doctors and officials about needing probably to take some more time away. So I think that is really courageous from a young man, and that's what we want to see more of in sport, Joey. So that's fantastic. But it will raise questions, Emma, about how he's been treated in the selection process, whether he should have been brought into the squad or not, because it did put a big spotlight on him.
Yeah, I guess the flip side of that, Jay, is that, you know, bringing a young kid into a test squad before he's, you know, got his first baggy green gives him the exposure to what the environment is like without having to send him straight out onto the ground, which would be completely overwhelming for a young guy. But the flip side is that the expectation of maybe being selected and then being let down actually defeats the purpose of that to begin with. We'll see, but we wish Will all the best with his endeavours. Earlier in the week, news broke about some really serious allegations surrounding premiership-winning trainer Darren Weir. Now, he, alongside two members of his staff, were arrested and released without charge by Victoria Police earlier in the week. But overnight, Racing Victoria have charged Weir with six offences, three of them relating to the possession and use of electronic devices called jiggers. This is a bad look for racing, a sport that already has integrity issues. And this is probably, boys, I reckon, the biggest crisis that the sport has faced in a decade.
Well, you've been in racing royalty your whole life. You've grown up with it, Emma. What was your initial reaction? Are you shocked? Are you shattered by all this? Because he's the people's champ, Weary. We all love him. He's at the pub. You can sidle up, have a beer with him. What was your initial reaction?
I think shattered's a great word, Jay, because, you know, you never want to see your sport that you love and that you've been brought up in brought into disrepute. But in terms of shock, if I'm going to be completely honest with you, I wasn't shocked. These rumours and allegations had been circling around the industry for a couple of years. They weren't specific rumours or allegations about the use of jiggers or the possession of illicit substances or some of the other things that we're hearing. It was more just that from winning a Melbourne Cup a few years ago with, you know, Michelle Payne riding Prince of Penzance, to the stable swelling to massive numbers of horses and new owners and then winning a premiership so quickly, I think people initially have a light bulb go off in their head and go, that just seems something not quite right. And that's not sour grapes, you know, not people winning premierships via hard work and you expect some of the other main players to get involved. But I think there were words and whispers that something wasn't right with how the way that Weir was operating his stable.
Well, have you heard of I'd never heard of a jigger or an electric shock machine being used before, a taser before. Like, is this, how common is this? How far does it go back?
Well, from what we hear, it goes back, you know, 80 years in terms of racing, you know, in the 20s and 30s. But in terms of, you know, my involvement at race, I've never seen them used. I've heard about them. Mm-hmm. Joe, you gave a great explanation before as to how they actually are used with the Vicks.
Well, you hear stories that's what they've done these in the past. Other trainers that
what do you mean?
Well, they use it and then use another substance maybe under the horse's nose, and then the jigger at track work will then alert that on race day if it has the Vicks under the nose or something like that, that maybe the horse expects the jigger and maybe that's how they get it to, whether it's jump out the barriers or run a bit faster. And
so this horse associates a cue like a Vicks or a pinprick or something with an electric shock, and that's what thinks.
They're the whispers you've heard, some of the tactics that these trainers use, and it is disappointing. And for me as a sports fan, as a racing fan, I just think it's sad because you want to believe in the story you touch on. Darren Weir, this magic, got the magic touch of a horseman who grew up in the country, who's just become so successful.
Yep.
But then as Emma touched on with that light bulb moment, it's a little bit like when you think of Lance Armstrong and you wanted it to be true, or even Marion Jones being the greatest female. You want to believe it, but there's something in the back of your head going, just, is it too good to be true? Mm-hmm. It usually is. And this is the case that I feel, and it's just a bit sad, disappointing for all of us in the racing industry that enjoy the sport.
And the movement, I guess, from Racing Victoria stewards has been swift over the past week, hasn't it? So am I right, Emma, in thinking that all Weary's runners have been pulled from the track this weekend? There has been some mixed opinion about that, you know, whether they should still be allowed to run because innocent until proven guilty. Where do you sit on that?
I think it's absolutely fair. From what I hear about the trainers over the last couple of days, other than Weary, they had written a letter to Racing Victoria basically saying that they weren't happy for Weir's runners to be competing on the weekend, especially considering now that he has been charged by Racing Victoria. I think they have to be strong. They have to be swift. They have to be decisive in their action because integrity is everything in racing.
You're right, but I feel for the owners of these horses that are missing out because they're just the owner, they're just racehorse owners. Yeah. They've done nothing wrong, and yet now it's costing them an opportunity to go and watch their horse run in some big races at Caulfield today and then hopefully or over the next few weeks. So they're the ones that I feel for, these owners that have been caught up in it, blindsided, just wanting to be part of the industry because of what's happened. So it's not great for everyone. A lot of people that work at Darren Weir Stables, I think there's something like 100 staff that all now don't have jobs, and the horses, as we speak, are all getting shipped off to different trainers. So it isn't great for the sport. It's disappointing. And there might be still more to come, Emma, that we'll have to just keep an eye on this story because I don't think this is the end of it at the moment.
Absolutely not. That hearing with Racing Victoria will take place on Monday. And you'd think that if those charges did stick with Weir and those two other members of his staff, they did stick on Monday, then Victoria Police would have no other option than to officially charge him. And then we're into serious hot water. Day two of the cricket, the test against Sri Lanka at Manuka Oval has just resumed about half an hour ago. What's the score at the moment?
Emma, Aussies in total control at 4 for 404. Joe Burns just ploughed another 4 runs. Beautiful clip off his legs. He moves to 180. Going to get a double ton here, Joey. Just in absolutely fine form, the man.
Do you think we declare fairly soon or we bat until after tea? What are your thoughts there?
500, Joey?
Oh, I'd just keep batting. Oh, it's only day two. I'd bat till nearly towards the end of stumps, if you could. Maybe have an hour tonight to bowl at Sri Lanka, but I'd just keep batting. Good confidence booster for these young Australians trying to make their way in the side.
Well, the way that they're doing it at the moment, I reckon that's a fair go. After 11, we're going to be chatting to gold medalist from the X Games in Aspen, Scotty James, an absolute ripper in the half pipe. Plus, we've also got the world famous segment that is Give Me a Spell and our dead set legend of the week.
You'll like Give Me a Spell, Emma. It's Jay's favourite segment because basically Give Me a Spell is if you've got a bee in your bonnet about something, you can come and air it on this show towards the end. Jay's always got plenty.
Yep.
So you'll love it this year. Anything that's just been bugging you during the week, something that's really just, something you want to give someone a clip, there's your opportunity later in the show. So have a think about it. You've got an hour to come up with a Give Me a Spell. As before we go to the break, there's been a wicket in the cricket just as we speak.
Joe Burns,
you jinxed him.
I did.
Commentator's curse. Jay, just when you said he was going to make 200, he's just chopped onto his stumps for 180. So Joe Burns walks off. Awful Jay Clark got him dismissed for 180.
Hey, it's a pretty nice knocker in the end. We've had a ripping first hour on our 2019 edition of the show. Boys, thanks for having me on for this year. I'm really enjoying it.
We're loving having you, it's fair to say. Emma, I need a new sting, clearly. I mean, I've just got not even a sentence or a word, it's just noises. So I need to
That was your highlight.
I need to deliver something better than that. But look, congratulations to you because you're obviously expecting later this year. When's that? When is your baby due?
Bubba's due in May. Yep. So the first for my husband, Charlie, and I. And so I'm about 6 months along now and just starting to develop a bit of a belly. I think I've been slow on the baby bump. I think a lot of people are like, really, you're pregnant? And I'm like, oh, that's nice at least. You still look a bit fit. Just but it's definitely been a roller coaster, especially in this heat.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. Being pregnant in 40-degree heat, like you see it in the movies and you hear people whinge about it all the time. It is a real thing. Like when it's been 40 degrees, it honestly feels like 50 degrees.
Yeah, it has been a hot summer, fair to say. And you've been traveling overseas, so you went to the basketball over there to see the Lakers, you said. So were you hanging out sort of courtside with Justin Timberlake and Snoop Dogg and all those sorts of guys, or are you back in the bleachers?
You know, you hear all these stories, particularly of people in our sports world, you know, who hook up tickets to go to the basketball, the NFL, and or something like that, you know, when they're overseas. No, we're in the nosebleed. and we went to see the Lakers take on OKC. So a great match, especially if you know your basketball. We were expecting to go see, you know, the King, LeBron James, in one of his first outings for the Lakers. But it was like that week where he injured himself And he, we got the news about, you know, 2 hours before we went off to the stable centre that he wasn't playing, but he still rocked up and he was in, you know, the fresh kid and the gold chain and he was sitting courtside. And my God, even from, you know, 50 metres away up in the nosebleed, he has got some kind of presence.
And what about Emma J? Yep. Her present to her husband while they're in LA was a round of golf at Pebble Beach.
Amazing.
That's amazing. Emma, that's a great gift. I'm sure he would have appreciated that, Charlie. And Aaron, if you're listening, lift your game. A round of golf at Pebble Beach. Wow.
It was your wedding anniversary. Is it yesterday? Or today?
Yeah, 5-year wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
Yesterday. Did you do the big sort of song and dance?
No, I just took Aaron out for lunch. We had a nice day at Crown. And then I went down to Rosebud and had a boys' night out because it was my reunion. Rosie, don't laugh. It was a reunion. My schoolmates have a reunion every year, and it's the first weekend of
Feb, which now collides
with our wedding anniversary. So there's going
to
be a dilemma for like the next 30 years of my life where it's like my wedding anniversary. But it's the first weekend of Feb, sort of like a good time for everyone to get together, except for me.
Extraordinary, Joey. It is your wedding anniversary.
We went out for lunch. We had a beautiful
day. You burned her for your boys, for your high school mates down in Sorrento.
We had a beautiful morning together with Noah, and then we went out for lunch. I got her a beautiful present, and then I went down and got her some mates. So I win wife of the year first.
I don't know if you're winning husband of the year. No. You've still got time to redeem yourself. Can't wait for the AFL season proper to start in about 6 weeks, boys. But the interesting controversy about players and their off-field choices of activity has resurfaced this week because Ollie Wines, he has been ruled out at least for the preseason competition and then maybe a couple of games in the season proper due to an injury he incurred while water skiing. Is that an appropriate activity in your off time?
Well, Joey and I mean, we disagree on this because I know water skiing for Ollie Wines, who's a $1 million a year player, it's like riding a bike for him or playing basketball.
He did it since he was a kid.
Yeah,
Scotty water ski since he was 6 years old.
So he'd be thinking it's a bit of a low risk thing, even though you're being pulled behind a boat at, say, 40 or 50 kilometres an hour. I think it's silly, Joey. I know players need to have, you know, a passion outside of football and all that sort of stuff, but water skiing for me is high risk enough when it's sort of pulling you at that speed to, I reckon, give it a wide berth. Is Ollie Wines ever going to water ski in off-season again? I wouldn't have thought so.
Well, I know what you're saying, but everyone's got to have their passions. And as you touched on, a lot of boys go surfing during the season. That's their outlet. You need an outlet. And let's be honest, Ollie Wines did this over his Christmas break when he's gone back home to Echuca on the river where he's from. It wasn't like he was doing it in between round 16 and round 17. He was doing it his Christmas break. Yep. As we said, he's done it since he was a kid. He's a very talented water skier. It was a freak accident. Accidents happen. They've happened over as long as the AFL has been going and football's being played. Men and boys have injured themselves off field doing other activities. And as long as boys will be boys, there will always be some form of injuries. You can't just wrap players in cotton wool and get them to sit at home on the couch and play on a PlayStation so they don't risk getting hurt. Unfortunately, it's going to happen. You don't want it, especially to some of your big guns. But it's happened for a long period of time and it will continue to happen, unfortunately, in the future.
No way your old coach, Ross Lyon, would have tolerated that or been happy whatsoever. Do you actually give us a Ross impression?
No, he certainly wouldn't have been happy. Please.
Do the first one for the year.
No, I won't. Well, the only time I'd tell you, Ross Lyon, so when you talk about off-field incidents, we used to go as a Saturday morning session for pre-season to mix it up. We all got road bikes and we'd go along Beach Road, you know, and ride those 30-kilometre rides. And one day, we had the big Peloton and Nick Riewoldt was at the front with Aaron Hamill and they were in the lycra. We did all that. We were proper road riders.
Yeah.
And we nearly had a stack. The Nick Riewoldt and Hamill at the front nearly collided with each other and would have brought down the whole Peloton. It would have been like Tour de France style carnage and we all wouldn't have played. And Ross Lyon, when he heard about it, it got back to him and he said, please, please. We spend so much time worrying about you not getting injured. There's no way. So we all bought these $5,000 road bikes. Yeah. We weren't allowed to use them again. Yeah. We were barred.
Where's yours?
So my friends all started using it. It's been passed around between all my friends. So
St. Vinny's somewhere.
It can happen. You know, there's been guys that have got injured playing a bit of cricket in the summer and they come to training and they wait till they get out in the training track on Monday and say, oh, I think I've twinged my hammy.
Who's done that?
I'm not naming names.
No, I'm not naming names.
I've had players that have done that in the past. There's been a lot of freak injuries. We've had Cozzy on the show talk about when a TV fell on his head.
Yeah, but that's different. To say someone like, you know, you guys riding down Beach Road on bikes, you're doing that as a training exercise.
But what I'm getting at, that's just as dangerous as water skiing. Accidents can happen. Accidents can happen doing anything. Ollie Wines, it was unfortunate. It's a blow for Port Adelaide, but you can't wrap these players in cotton wool. Things like this happen.
I've got a few favourite ones, a few quirky pre-season injuries. Of course, Brad Otten's the former Tiger and Cat impaling himself on a garden stake as he's putting up his hammock in the backyard. Bit of a weird one. Jed Anderson, the former Hawk and now Kangaroo, caught pneumonia while duck shooting in an NT swamp. Had to be put
in the middle of summer.
Yeah, not ideal for Jed. Bit chilly up there or something. Oh, he caught a bug or whatever it is. 6 days in an induced coma. Steve Johnson, the famous one, jumping the Torquay pub.
Oh, yeah. Broken at least ankles. He was honest about that. You know, it was at the pub and then a couple of scooies. That's the good. I like the honesty about it, right?
We admire Stevie J's honesty. And, of course, Jeremy Howe. Now, this is still a little bit contentious, but breaking his finger, throwing his frisbee with his dog.
And, of course, Jordan DeGoey as well. Oh, See, now that's the riskiest activity. Drinking alcohol is the riskiest activity of all. So don't worry about water skiing. Worry about all these players that have had accidents because they've just had a few too many jars.
Good luck.
That's the one that you've got to be really cautious of. So these things will happen. It's unfortunate. As we
said, Stevie Baker? What did he do?
Stevie Baker broke his foot kicking the lawn bowls. We had a bit of a barefoot bowl session one Sunday after a few beers, and Stevie Baker kicked the lawn bowl and broke his foot. So these things do happen, but hopefully for Ollie Wine's sake and Port Adelaide's sake, he's back on the park because he's a very good player. Going to be captain, Jay? Is he going to be captain?
Co-captain with Bokey,
yep.
I think.
Yep. Good. I like it.
Joey, how do you keep your body in such good nick, though? Like, you haven't had any of these injuries as such.
That's right, Emma. And I've got no chance, or I had no chance in my career of doing any injury like that because I can't do any extreme or activity. Like, I can't rollerblade, I can't skateboard, I can't surf, I can't ski. We're chatting to Scotty James in a minute. I wish I did know how to do any of that, but I'm no good at any of things. So I was never going to have any accidents doing any extreme sports because I just can't do it.
So in the peloton before, you were right at the back?
I was at the back. I wouldn't have even been part of that peloton. I was trying to catch up out the back. I was safe.
Yeah, Scotty James winning gold in the States during the week, and he joins us on the phone from LA now to talk about the win. Congratulations, Scotty.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
You sound like you've had a big day, brother.
I'm doing well. I'm just cruising. We're in LA. I'm in between competitions at the moment. Had X Games last week, and then we have World Champs next week, so doing well. It's a nice little couple of days off.
And Scotty, we were chatting earlier, mate, about extreme sports. In football terms, we've had some injuries to some guys doing some water skiing and other activities. You're obviously a junkie, a bit of an extreme junkie. Do you do any other extreme sports? Is there any other things that you do away from the snowfields that might get you injured occasionally?
You know, I'll tend to pull a hamstring or something when I'm kicking a football back home. Yeah, honestly, no. But I spend a bit of time surfing and things like that. But, I kind of do snowboarding. Snowboarding is really the only thing I do that's on the extreme side, to be honest. I'm a really terrible skateboarder, and I attempt to surf as much as I can, but yeah, not great at that either.
It's amazing what you do, Scotty. I admire the flips. What did they say? Something was mind-melting. The 10, 20, like some of your aerial feats are absolutely incredible. But I want to know how in the hell you did this at the 2010 Vancouver Winter Olympics as a 15-year-old. So you're amongst the absolute giants of the sport. You're standing up there at the top of the run as a 15-year-old. How are you able to pull off some of that stuff, particularly at such a young age back in the day?
Yeah, I've been very fortunate from a young age, really. I kind of, you know, in snowboarding, you're a very young demographic when you kind of turn into your professional years. So, you know, when you're 13, you finish off your juniors and then you pretty much go straight into your open men's category. You know, when I was 15, I went to the Vancouver 2010 Games, and it was a pretty eye-opening experience for me.
Were you packing yourself, Scotty?
But, it was really cool that I've got to kind of be surrounded by some amazing athletes and guys that I've looked up to, and then now I'm competing against them and things like that. So, yeah, it's been a pretty amazing transition in my career and things like that over the past kind of 6 years.
Scotty, number one in the world at the moment, and of course last year we saw you claim bronze at the Winter Olympics. Another guy kind of stealing your thunder for the last couple of years, named Sean White. Are you pretty happy that he hasn't been competing all that much over the last little while, because he is truly, in history's perspective, the king of your sport?
He is. He's, you know, much respect to Sean. He's a very is just an athlete. You know, he's a competitor and things like that. And I've been fortunate enough to compete against alongside him over the past, 5 years or so, kind of being competitive. But I'm a little sad he's not around because I'd love to compete against him. He's a good competitor, and we both kind of wear our hearts on our sleeves, which was kind of shown last year through our events and competing and things like that. But I'm sure I don't know what he's doing, and if he hangs his boots up, if I were him, it would be a pretty nice feeling. But knowing Sean, I'm sure he'll be back again. But I'll just make sure I keep working hard that I maintain my throne, because I won't let him take it off.
Scotty, let's be honest. You're probably the coolest guy in Australian sport at the moment, of course. You were when you were playing Joey. But now, Scotty, that is you. I mean, you see your guys at the top of the run. You've got their gear. You've got the earphones in your ears. What? And I'm sure a lot of those guys are listening to the rap and the Snoop Dogg and all that. What do you got pumping in the earlobes as you're about to, do the run in the biggest moment of your life? What tunes are you listening to?
Well, look, I'm really not that cool. I'm kind of a big dork, to be honest. But I'm a big fan of the 70s. I'm Fleetwood Mac. I'm in the 50s. So I like
that kind of bloke.
Music, but yeah, the other night in particular, can't go wrong with a bit of AC/DC.
Although nice.
When I was dropping into my last run, I was listening to Thunderstruck, the live version from Donington years ago, and unfortunately, I had pressed the pause button as I pushed my head forward to drop into my run. So I was vibing the music, and then it shut off on me, unfortunately. But it worked out in the end, which was great.
Yeah, we'll keep up with the Akadaka, Scotty. Hey, we're really proud of you back home. Congratulations on the big win at Aspen, and continue to send it for the rest of the season. We'll see you back home for Australia's winter.
Thank you, guys. All right, mate. Appreciate the chat, and hi to everyone back home in Oz.
Yeah, big Essendon supporter joining me along the way, boys. So I've got a compatriot there hoping for us to do a little bit better this year. How much are you looking forward to the footy starting back up, boys?
Can't wait, Em, to be honest. We've had a nice summer break, lots of over summer, mate, lots of beach time.
What's a
Yeah, just sort of taking
you it. You and the kids play
I tell you what, this is just a very quick question for you. I don't mean to digress. Can you put a draw four on a draw two or not?
No, it's draw four on draw four only.
Is it?
Yes. So
you can't up the ante.
No, you can't do draw six.
There's nothing like the thrill of making your 3-year-old daughter draw 16. Let's be honest. Don't you want to pull up the pain and
draw six?
Anyway, that sort of issue, I digress. That has split out.
What did you think? What is the rule? Can you put draw two on top of draw four?
I've always played that you can put a draw two on top of draw four.
Yeah, but I think that's incorrect. I think it has to be a draw four.
Hey, give us a call, 1-333-53. Yeah, please.
My wife will probably jump on the line. I told you, she would say. Hey, some big footy news. Also, some surprising footy news last night, Joey, with the news that Tom Bug, former Demon, former GWS hard nut, bit of a niggler, only 71 days after being signed by Carlton, has retired. And so it's an interesting backstory in this, because his social media business is going so gangbusters. He's basically quitting footy and the $80,000 a year sort of rookie paycheck to go and do big things in the social media space. And his partner's got sort of something to do with this.
Well,
Joey,
you just said, yeah, it's his. Is it his social media? I don't understand enough about it. I'm only reading it last night, like you said. But it looks like his girlfriend's got over 1 million followers or something.
It's 1.4.
And he's just, right, and going to do business with her, and he's given up his football dream.
If you're on Instagram, have a look. I think it's called Zoo's Group.
Do they do? What does she do? Oh, okay, right.
No, I don't mean that. I mean,
they must be doing something from the quitties football career. They must be doing something.
They don't seem to be wearing that much from the photos that I've seen. But right. Good luck to Tom. He probably wasn't in Carlton's best 22, was he, Joey? So he's
No, he's not.
But it's been a disastrous preseason for the Blues. Let's be honest. Cruiser injury, McGovern coming back from a fractured back. Fasolo, broke his arm on the PI-55, Joey. Mm-hmm. What would be your reaction as a teammate? So Alex Fasolo, playing for his career, got a 1-year deal at Carlton, left Collingwood, obviously, sort of another pump to reignite things, and he's on a sauce and he's broken his wrist.
Yeah, I'll no doubt you'd be disappointed. Of course, you'd be upset with him. You'd be disappointed. You'd feel for him, but also he's let his teammates down. But really, once it's done, there's not much you can do. He has to earn the respect of the playing group. He has to get his recovery right.
Yeah.
And then work hard to earn the trust and make sure that he doesn't make one mistake and turn into two. So it's a blow for Carlton. They've had a lot of injury troubles. Obviously, Doherty again as well. Do we know anything about the replacement? Because now with the new rules, Carlton can replace a couple of these players. Is Gibbons a chance to get on that, get one of those spots?
If Michael Gibbons, the dual VFL best and fairest winner, does not get a spot at Carlton, Joey and Emma, I might do this show nude in March, if you know what I mean.
Oh, like, please don't.
He has been lighting it up at the Carlton. We knew this because he's a natural ball
winner.
He's a gun.
He's probably the best player in the VFL, has been for the last couple of seasons from Williamstown. So good luck to Michael Gibbons. Hopefully he gets an opportunity.
Just it's because he's been a little shorter. And
well, Kane Lambert's a great example of that. Was a very good player at VFL level. Wasn't exceptional in any part of his game, but just a very, very good footballer. Yep. Look at what he's done at Richmond. So hopefully Michael Gibbons might have the same impact.
I think he'll play round one. Fasolo won't play round one, I don't think, against the Tigers. So he's got some work to do. And I've got some fears for the Blues, Joey. I think they're a bottom three team again. They've already given away their top draft pick from last year, which is now Adelaide's. And I think that'll be a very good chance to be a top three section.
Yeah, I think so. They'll struggle again, the Blues. We know they've got that young, talented list. They just need more time.
Yep.
And they need a lot to go their way to win some games at this stage of their progress. So injuries to key players is going to hurt them. It'll be probably another tough year for the Blues, but I still like their list and the progression that they'll take, led by Cripps and Curnow.
Touching on some captaincy news, we're thinking that Jarryn Geary will be the Saints skipper again. Joey, you like
that? I actually haven't heard anything about that yet. I don't know. I presume he will be.
Who would be your pick?
I still think Gears is the right man for the job at the moment. Yeah,
and at Melbourne, I mean, Jack Viney is coming through. I still think veteran Nathan Jones and Jack Viney might share that a bit. They'll have co-captains coming through for another season. Is Nathan Jones in Melbourne's best 22? Is he a lock?
I still think he is. Yeah, Nathan Jones. He had a pretty good year last year, but a different role, playing as a wingman. I still think he's got a role, wing, halfback, playing as a bit more of an outsider. So I like Nathan Jones in their team.
And Emma, good news for your Bombers, because Joey Danaher sat out the whole of last year, or the bulk of last year, with that groin concern. We know he's had some osteitis pubis. He was back on the track this week doing some match simulation. Just such an important player for the Bombers. We know they've bolstered that midfield with Dylan Scheel coming in, Devon Smith, Adam Saad last year, but they do need him back. They do need Danaher back. So great to see him back out on the track. Hopefully he'll be in red and black for round one.
And back in the leadership group as well, which is good news for Joey. I just before we go to the break, we had a call just come through about the official rules of Uno. Danny from St Albans has given us a bell on 133.53. What are the official rules, Danny?
Yeah, it's the same as a reverse. As long as it's the same colour that's called, you can put a draw two on a draw four.
As long as it's the same colour as what is called. There you go.
Well, that's what we're doing this morning on Triple M's Dead Set Legends, absolutely enlightening the public with the rules of Uno. We are keeping an eye on the cricket this morning. The Aussies batting again, day two at Manuka Oval, currently 5 for 4.37. And good news, Curtis Patterson has now bought up his 50, so a half ton for him. Tim Payne also at the crease, currently with 17 to his name. This is a segment I keep hearing plenty about. It goes something like this.
We are fighting the fake news.
The Dead Set Legends.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Phony. Fake.
Yes, it's our favourite segment anyway, Emma, Jay and I. Whether anyone else likes it doesn't matter. We love this segment because it's a chance to get something off our chest, a bee in our bonnet,
give
something that's really bugging us. I was going to give Kane Corns a bit of a pot for him talking about these players shouldn't be allowed to do anything outside of football hours if they want to win a premiership. But I changed my mind because in that last minute when we're trying to sort out whether you can put a draw two on top of a draw four, or it has to be a draw four, our producer, Ryan Warren, we opened the lines to the callers. Well, hang on. Who said that Danny from St Albans got the final say? Who's Danny? Give me a spell, Rabsy. Unless Danny is the head of Uno, I don't know why he got the final say, because he said you could put a draw two on top of a draw four.
As long as
I still dispute that. But anyway, so Rabsy, give me a spell putting Danny from St Albans. No disrespect to you, Danny. We appreciate you calling in. And we like you, but I don't know why he gets the final say. Give me a spell,
well,
Rabsy.
Apparently we had plenty of calls.
We had plenty of calls, and apparently it was a 50-50 split. Exactly. So why Danny got the right one, I don't know. But anyway, Rabsy, work on that in the future. So there's my vent.
Oh, I tell you what, watching the BBL last night, my turn, Joey. Hat-trick is a big thing in cricket.
Oh, yes. I mean, have you ever taken a hat-trick?
Only the best have sort of
done it. Have you taken a hat-trick?
I've taken one. But a full toss back in the day. It was a shocking last delivery. Still got the ball. Anyway, back to Josh Leigh and his hat-trick last night. So he took a wicket with his last ball of the third last over and then took wickets with his first two balls of the last over. So that's three wickets in three balls and a hat-trick. But none of his teammates realised until the commentators told a player. Let's have a listen to thanks to Channel 7.
Hey, Rossi, have we got you?
Yeah, no worries, mate. Yeah.
Can you go and let him know that he's just taken a hat-trick? I don't think anybody knows. Did you know that was a hat-trick delivery?
No, that was just
that. That was his hat-trick, right?
He's got a hat-trick.
No, I don't think any of us knew.
Well, run up and give him a shake.
Run up and let him know, mate, that he's just picked up a hat-trick.
Look at Rossi go, too. That's a 90-metre run.
Let's have a listen here.
Hat-trick. Well done. What's it? Hat-trick ball. You got a hat-trick, brother.
Nice work. Josh can't believe it. Look at him.
Give me an absolute spell. How do you not know, Joey, when your teammates take it?
He wasn't even that excited when he found out.
No. You've got to get all round him, Emma.
Ah, give me a spell.
It's not that hard to count, is it, boys? Oh, 1, 2, 3.
Exactly. Give me a spell. It's extraordinary.
I'm going to give this a go, and keeping in the racing theme because, you know, of course, give me a spell is of that vernacular.
Yep.
I'm going to go with Matt Chapman. Now, he's an English racing commentator. You may remember him from around Cox Plate time last year where he said that Winx, you know, our greatest ever thoroughbred in this country, beat inferior opposition when it came to her fourth Cox Plate. Well, he's at it again during the week. Calling her a pensioner, saying she's too old.
He's still going easy, that peanut.
And too slow. Exactly right. I mean, give me a spell, mate.
Give me
she's
a spell.
She's the best in the world.
Yeah.
And she should be allowed to hold that mantle
yep.
and not have you tear her down just because you want to create headlines. That's an absolute joke.
Yeah.
Nice start, Emma. Nice start. Yep. Nice little half hole. I reckon Emma can really bend the back. as we go along through this show, you can really fight.
Just you wait.
But, a nice start. But, Emma, what I like to do, because we know Jay gets a little bit negative on this show, the bit of the journalist in him, I always like to finish with a positive. So now we always finish the show with a nice little what we call the Dead Set Legend of the Week.
The Dead Set Legend of the Week.
But a champion becomes a legend.
And I thought it's only fitting. Sometimes we throw out the word around legend a bit too easily, let's be honest. But this time it is for a Dead Set Legend because Super Bowl is Monday. We spoke to Luke Darcy earlier in the show. Tom Brady going for his sixth Super Bowl ring. And if he does get that, he will certainly be the GOAT. We have time to have a quick listen to Bill Belichick, his coach, on Tom Brady.
You've had a long and unbelievable partnership with Tom Brady. What are your thoughts on Tom Brady?
A really special player to coach. Tom works very hard. He's very smart. He's trained hard. He's worked hard on his throwing mechanics. He's worked hard on his mental understanding of the game and process. He's earned everything that he's achieved, but wasn't always there. He's not a great natural athlete. He's a very smart, instinctive football player.
But he might end up being the greatest of all time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not all about talent. It's about dependability, consistency, and being able to improve. Again, and if you work hard and you understand, you're coachable and you understand what you need to do, you can improve.
Hard to argue with Jay. He's a dead set legend and he'll go down as the GOAT without a doubt if he can win his sixth Super Bowl on Monday.
Speaking of legendary, we've got to finish this quickly, but I want a tip of the day, Emma. You are our racing analyst guru. What will the winners make some money on today?
All right, my best of the day, race 5, number 3, Lanagira for James Cummings, currently sitting at about a $4.80 starting price, which is a bit of value. Joey, you got one as well?
Sam's Image today at Caulfield in the first race. Get the day off to a start. Sam's Image will win the first race today at Caulfield.
I can see us battling this out for the rest of the year. Hey,
we'll
thanks for
score.
Joining us on our first show of Triple M's Dead Set Legends for the year. We'll see you next week, Saturday from 10 a.m.
We hope you enjoyed the Triple M Dead Set Legends. Catch them Saturday mornings from 10 on Triple M. And if you miss the show, catch up with Just a Tap on the Triple M app. Brought to you by Petters Weight Matrix. See petters.com.au.